Hello, and a very warm welcome to New in Events, a podcast from IBTM. My name is Mike Fletcher.
And I'm Paul Cook. And together we'll be diving into the world of events professionals and interviewing key figures to unearth new thinking, new ideas, and up-to-date advice for industry newcomers.
New in Events is for everyone working in the meetings, incentive, conference, and event sectors. You may have recently got a job in this industry and you're looking to learn from more experienced players, or you may be a seasoned pro looking for new solutions, new ways of working, and inspiration for how your events can evolve for the future.
Whichever part of the events industry you work in, and no matter how long you've been one of us, you've come to the right place.
New episodes of Season 1 will be available throughout the first half of 2024, so don't forget to follow and subscribe on whichever channel you download your podcast from.
Or you can follow us and IBTM Events on social media, and we'll let you know every time a new episode is published.
So, let's get on with the show.
Hello, Mike, and welcome to episode 2. This one is all about mentoring. So who's on the show today, Mike?
Hi, Paul. Good to see you. So this episode, we meet up with Faye Sharp, OBE. Now, she's the founder of Fast Forward 15, a mentoring scheme. She's also the former managing director of Zybrant, and she started her career in hotel sales for Hilton. We then cross over to the show floor at Barcelona for IBTM World, where Ellen Laclaus, senior creative producer for Cheerful 21st, popped by the podcast booth to give her advice on navigating the events industry as a newcomer. But first, let's hear from Faye.
Lovely to see you two guys. I'm Faye Sharp, founder of Fast Forward 15, the event industry's mentoring and coaching program, which is free in its 10th year as well.
I hope you don't mind us pointing out also that you are a bit of a veteran of the industry.
I am. I mean, this year is a big year for me, actually. It's my 60th birthday this year. So, but 60 is the new 40 in my books. I live my life to the full. I did Machu Picchu last year, did a 5-day trek. I've just come back from a week skiing hardcore, 7 hours a day. I am about to hike. I'm going to do Hadrian's Wall this year, hopefully. And also looking at doing Kilimanjaro. So, my mindset is very much like can do.
That Kilimanjaro reference, I have to tell you, you just need to do it because I did it back in 2016 and it was one of those things that was absolutely life-changing. When I came off that mountain, I made certain decisions, transformed my life. And actually, that's a really nice segue without even thinking about it into the work you do with Fast Forward 15.
Yes.
And the mentoring. What I'd like to know is what's behind the name? What was your inspiration for setting it up?
So Fast Forward 15, probably, I think the first moment I thought of it was I was at the Events 100, which is an award recognising the top 100 people in the events industry. And bearing in mind what I'd achieved with Zybrant and my team, we were the biggest agency in the business, 250 people. Maybe it was a little bit of conceit in that I wasn't even on that list. And secondly, when I looked, the other thing that was really annoying is there were over 80 men on the list, and I can't remember, about 18 women. I just went up to the organizer and I just said, please tell me why some of the industry legends that I know are not on there that are female and why it's so male dominated. And they just said, well, women don't put themselves forward. They're not very, you know, they don't have the confidence. And I just thought, okay, there's something in here. And at that point, mentoring was not even on the agenda, mentoring and coaching. And I thought, do you know what? I can do something about this. I'm a really good people person. I'm really good at hearing people and helping them achieve whatever it is. So I thought I can do something. So I went away and pondered on this for about a year. This was 2014 now. I thought, do you know what? I think as a company, we'd just won the Times Top 50 Companies for Women to Work For, which again, for a company of our size, we were the only small company on that list. That was because we were flexible with our mat leave. We tried to put people back into jobs when they come back to work or try to help women at different stages of their career. So really proud of that. And I thought we've got an 80% female workforce here. And yet most of the managers coming through are male. So I could see that. And also, even though we were lucky in that our board was 50-50 male, female, most of the other boards I knew were all male boards in other agencies.
So you recognised it, but it was a difficult truth. You did recognise it within the industry.
Absolutely. And I go to obviously some fantastic characters, and I'm not knocking guys because I love the men in the industry as much as I love the women, but I'd go to events and there'd be all male tables where you'd think, hang on a minute, I went away and I came back. Luckily at the time then I had not only had a fantastic PA, but I also had a marketing team who pandered to my incredible weird ideas, because I was always coming up with different things. Like before Foxtons, I wanted to have beetles all in vibrant colours, but the marketing team said, no, Faye, we don't want to do that. I said, I want to do this scheme for programme for women. This is what it's going to be. I came up with a name and it was, we were in 2014 and I said, we'll do it 15 because it's 2015 next year. Fast forward 15. Let's fast forward people's careers. Let's fast forward their confidence, and created a website. And then I just reached out to all of my clients and the other hoteliers I work with. And I just said, I'm doing this thing. Would you like to be on this? And they all said yes. I thought, blimey, you know, that's great. I then worked with a lady who did coaching and mentoring. She helped me write some material to make it structured. So it wasn't just about throwing two people together and letting them get on with it. It was about taking people through a process of growth and development. Then I went to the press and said, you know, I'm doing this thing, because social media wasn't as big a thing then. It was about me getting out there and talking at Confex or IBTM or IMEX or whatever, and telling people about it. And I had over 250 applications in the first year.
Wow, to be mentees. And how many mentors did you have?
I had loads. At that point, I was hand selecting people. I was trying to find people that I thought were doing it for the right reason. I wasn't looking for people who were trying to promote something or sell something. They had to be wanting to help people. That was 10 years ago.
For our listeners, sometimes there can be confusion between mentoring and coaching, because they can appear to be almost the same, but they're not. So how would you describe the difference between the two as you see it?
Being honest with you, Fast Forward 15 is a blend of both, because there's absolutely coaching involved in what we do. There are a lot of other mentoring programs that have popped up after, which is great. So mentoring tends to be where someone is working with a trusted advisor, someone maybe with a higher level of experience than them, someone who maybe has a different level of experience than them, someone that can advise and give them their opinion. Whereas coaching tends more to be objective or goal-based, where you're maybe setting a goal, you're helping the candidate discover what it is they want to achieve. But in my world, they go hand in hand. They're blended together, because sometimes you do need to give that advice. Someone just does, is they're stuck. And even though you might coach them and help them try and find the answers, and they do know them, sometimes it's just that reassurance. Yep, I think that's a good choice. Obviously, with the caveat that it's always their choice. I don't think a mentor should ever be telling someone what to do. That's the wrong approach. It should always be advisory and actually trying to help the person come to their own conclusion, if possible, first of all. Fast Forward 15 is goal orientated. So the premise of the program is that they set a goal, which they try and achieve within the year. And around that goal, there are lots of smaller goals. We have like a mentoring mountain, which is the peak goal. And then they have base camp one, base camp two. The idea of that is obviously you're not just going to get to the main goal without lots of other little things happening. And in my book, you can set something down unless you've got a plan, aka an action plan of what I'm going to do and other things I'm going to achieve. Halfway through the year, you're going to be like, well, I'm not anywhere near that, and give up. So there's lots of stages along the way.
That's really a key differentiator, I think, to some of the mentoring programs that are around. People get together, they do some work, and then it all fizzles out. But you've got the graduation ceremony. People have to go through. They have to meet all of those objectives together. Yeah. How do you choose people to mentor?
It's a structured program. Not only do we do the mentoring sessions, but they also get two education sessions. One, which is at Cvent Connect, which the lovely Felicia supports me in, and I curate content around that. You saw me speaking there this year, but also we'll take the delegates to those events, but we'll also have our own speakers come in and talk about different subjects. So, for example, social media. I get them to pitch, so they have to do a three-minute pitch on themselves. So I'm giving them lots of skills while they're at it. They also have to put a charity event on, which I'll talk about later. But graduation is the penultimate sort of moment. They've achieved their goals. They actually get up on stage and talk about what they've achieved for the year. But going back to how do I pick, we obviously get all the applications in. We're open now for applications until March the 5th. They fill in a form, which is really dead simple. There is a small registration fee if they're accepted, which is just to pay for their course materials, £150. I personally review every application and I match them with the mentors that are on the current program, the 15 mentors. We have a recruitment process, which has been written for us by procurement expert Vicky Owens at KPMG. who's one of my supporters and advisors and an ex-mentor. She's fantastic. So that everything is fair and square. So the mentors mark the mentees against the procurement process, which is things like, are they committed? Because we want someone who's going to put in as well as take out, someone who actually is bothered to look at who the mentor is and what skills they've got, and also look at the program and what it's all about. So it's more a case of like, is this person really wanting this place? Because if they were paying for it, they'd be paying 30K. We want people that are committed. And then obviously once the mentors get their batch of mentees, so they get between 7 and 10 mentees each, they interview them each, and then we score them, and then they have a call with me and we go through and I do the sort of what I call the bread and butter check to make sure there's no conflict of interest, that they've selected correctly, and that we're being fair in everything we do. So it's a really robust process, and I really appreciate the support I've had from Vicky in putting that together.
Do you think the number of mentees has increased over the past 8 years?
We probably have less applications now. We have around 100 applications now than when we first started, and that's purely because there are more things on the marketplace. I think also people recognise there is a commitment here. There are only 15 places for a reason, and that is because they get one-on-one attention. They all have different objectives and goals that they want to achieve. Some people want to set their own business up. Some people just want to get a promotion. Some people are freelance and just want the support of feeling like they've got someone there to give them advice. So everyone has, some people just come back from mat leave and they're lost. Some people are in their 50s and they're stuck in the same role and don't know. So everyone's got a different objective.
So it's important to point that out, that it's not just about newcomers into the industry.
It's not.
It's about people at every stage of their career.
And I'm very careful about how I match people to make sure people feel respected. And that's also why about 5 years ago, I introduced DEI ambassadors. And we do a series every year called Someone Like Me to make sure that we're also inclusive. Our mentors are varied from different backgrounds, different races, different colours, men, women, etc. So that everyone feels that they can apply wherever they're from or whatever stage of their career they're at.
It feels almost a shame that you only take on 15 mentees.
Personally, I've mentored thousands of people and hopefully made some real people's career changes for them and helped them, what have you. But I think it makes it special, and it also makes it an accolade to have a place. So if you get on the programme, everyone's brilliant. There's no losers. We always give everybody, if they've applied, a half an hour jumpstart mentoring session. So whatever they do, they're not going to lose. It's like getting a 30 under 30 or an award. If you get a place, you've obviously hit the mark somewhere. And people apply 3, 4, 5 times. People get on. And I've got one mentee this year. It was her 4th year and she got on. We do note that as well. If people have applied before, don't give up. It's like me. I've applied for Bake Off 5 times now. Still fingers crossed, though.
Oh, we would love to see you on Bake Off.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys, I got down to the final 50 last year.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to show you my cakes later. I literally made a 7-tier upside-down cheesecake and lemon and lime, so it was pretty good, with macarons on top. So,
superb.
Yes.
It's probably also worth pointing out that it's 15 female mentees.
It is, yes.
But they are mentored by both men and women.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for talking to us, Faye. That's been really insightful. I just wondered, just to close on, do you have a piece of advice for any newcomers coming into the industry? This podcast is for primarily new people in the industry.
Absolutely.
Looking for new ideas, new insights. What advice would you give to newcomers?
Well, I've got a few things, hopefully, that will help people. Number one is be yourself. Always put 110% into everything you do, because what you put in is what you get out. There is no such thing as a free lunch. And graft is, unfortunately, what you have to do. Be passionate about what you do, or find a career or whatever you do within the events industry. If this is the career you choose, pick something that you love, because if you love it, you will never do a day's work in your life.
Never a truer word said, and fantastic piece of advice. Thank you so much, Faye.
Pleasure.
Welcome back to the podcast booth here at IBTM World, and I'm delighted to be joined by Elle Clowes. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Here we are in the media centre, tucked away at the back. Now, Elle, you are senior creative producer for Cheerful 21st.
I am.
But you are also the co-founder of Event First Steps.
That is correct. Great research. Love it.
So tell us about Event First Steps. What is it?
So Event First Steps is an initiative I founded with two other women in the events industry, because two of us had come out of uni and the other had a career change. She worked in travel for a long time, so she had a later in life career change. And we found when we were coming up in the industry, it was quite challenging as a newcomer to navigate your way around all of the different industry events, especially looking at how to find your place within the industry, because it's not just event management. You might be in sales, you might be in creative, you might be in tech. And so we started to create events for students within larger events. So Confex, we were able to secure a room for students on one of the days, and we brought in a panel of event professionals, and basically with the aim to inspire. That basically kind of snowballed, and we're still doing it like 6 years later, and we work with universities. And yeah, the goal is to uplift and inspire newcomers, no matter their age or their background, and bring them in and
help them build a community. Yeah, and forge their career through the industry.
Because the industry is a beautiful place, but from the outside, it's quite intimidating. And sometimes it can feel clicky, I guess. I'm trying to break down those barriers.
Fantastic. That sounds really good work. From the pandemic, we lost a lot of people from this industry, unfortunately, through redundancies and people deciding to go, not come back from furlough, go into other industries. I guess the concept is that there's a lot more people now joining the industry as venues and hotels decide to up staff again. So what advice would you give for people joining the industry, perhaps from other sectors, and looking to forge a career?
From my personal journey and from questions I'm often asked by newcomers is, if you're in a role, obviously within reason, but if you're finding that you're not enjoying it, or you actually have an interest in a slightly different skill set, don't be afraid to speak up just because it's your first job. And how I started was, I was in pure event management. And then I realized I can do it really well, but it doesn't inspire or excite me. And I was really lucky that I had a boss that was open to it, but she allowed me to try and transition into creative. And that's how I got here today. I would say, one, don't be afraid to try new things or ask to shadow people in different departments. We're very curious as event professionals anyway, but just always keep your references, your arsenal of inspiration current, and go to as many things as you can, because you might see something that sparks a little ignition of, oh yeah, actually I'd love to be able to create that, or I'd love to be able to sell a space like this, and that might help you to find your space.
Yeah, absolutely. This industry is incredibly flexible. Everybody does multiple roles.
Yeah.
There's lots of spinning plates.
So many spinning plates.
As we both know. Cool. So you're on stage tomorrow discussing burnout. And it's a well-known fact that MICE industry professionals, they work hard and they play hard.
Yes.
So what should employers look out for to spot the signs of burnout?
If you have an employee who was previously super engaged and suddenly maybe they're still doing their work, you can just tell something's a little bit off. Just to check in, and I've noticed in members in my agency that do it really well, it's not a big deal. It's not a massive thing. It's just even just a ping like, are you doing okay today? I know your workload is a lot. Like the soft skills, which in fast-paced environments, especially agencies, we can forget about, not because we're cold, but because actually we've got so much going on. You can sense when someone's vibe's a little bit off. And also, I was just actually having a really lovely conversation with a head of creative at a different agency, and talking about how from the top down, it's really important to set a good precedent for what the work-life balance should be. And of course, we're not a 9-to-5 industry, but he said that if he sees someone working on a Saturday because he can see tasks that have been assigned or whatever, he'll just give them a message to be like, hope you're okay, but please don't work on a Saturday because this is your weekend.
Culture is especially important, isn't it, for that? Really good advice. And you've been on the main stage. I can see the main stage from where we're sitting. You can probably hear it in the background at times on this podcast, but you've been on the main stage today and you've been talking about creativity.
Yes, I had a really, really interesting discussion with James Cross, who founded his own ad agency called Meanwhile, who do some really beautiful work. But he was head of creative at BBC previously. So we were talking about how to unleash your creativity no matter what your role. So if you're not in the creative departments like we are, you might be into the finance team, you might be in the venue searching team. How can we as an industry remove our blinkers from what our role says we should be doing and actually put creativity into every element of the events and the experiences that we're creating?
Fantastic. What were some of the gems that came out from that? I popped my head in earlier. There was a video of David Bowie on the big screen.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we were giving you all of the senses in there, videos, sounds. It was really interesting, actually, the idea that sometimes we feel that too tight a brief restricts us and hinders our creativity, but actually that forces us to think more creatively. So that was something that we kind of uncovered. And I said, actually, if I get a brief and it's like, we don't really have a budget and you can kind of do whatever, it feels very overwhelming, as opposed to if you've got a tight RFP, actually sometimes that can force you to be more creative. And also to just constantly challenge yourself. If you're in a comfort zone consistently, maybe you're not doing your best creative work, and maybe you need to nudge yourself. Maybe you need to surround yourself with people that might nudge you a little bit more. But yeah, challenge yourselves, challenge the clients sometimes. That was one of the key ones.
Fantastic. That's great advice. Cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for popping by the podcast booth, and
you're welcome.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
You too.
Okay. All the best. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm sure you agree. They were both really fascinating, really interesting interviews from Faye and Eleanor. Produced a lot of good insights. It's worth pointing out that Fast Forward 15 isn't the only mentoring scheme in the events industry, but mentoring schemes are incredibly important. It's really, really vital that people learn from one another and find good mentors within this industry, because there's very little in the way of structured career paths.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, Mike. A lot of people fall into this industry. I mean, I know I did when I started some years ago now. You have to plow your own path. And what I mean by that is, this is an industry where you need to meet people face to face and just become involved. So if you go to events or trade shows, conferences, it doesn't matter, but start somewhere. There's a lot of associations in events, and they are a great place to meet already like-minded people. So you can find mentors and people you get on with in amongst all of that crowd.
Absolutely. It's all about developing your network, isn't it? And as you meet more people, developing your own network, then out of those, you will find people that will help you along the way or give you good advice that will help you change track if needs be. It's a very fluid industry, isn't it? People don't always start off in one place and follow a linear line through their career. You can end up going all over the place, which is one of the things that Faye told us about, wasn't it?
No, absolutely. I mean, I come from an insurance background, so how I'm doing the things that I do today in the creative space is almost a seismic shift. But yeah, you're right. There's almost no boundaries with events. A lot of people work in events and don't even realize they're events, especially the corporate event planner might not feel that they are in an event space.
No, they could be sitting with the marketing team. They could be sitting with the human resources team and not really think about their role as being in events, which is one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast, to try and bring the community together and give them some really good insights, some really good advice. One of the things that Eleanor said that I'd like to talk about a little bit is looking at the health and well-being of your colleagues. She touched on the whole concept of burnout, and we know that the events industry is very fast-paced. People generally do their jobs, work incredibly hard, and don't have particularly set hours to do those jobs. So burnout is a potential problem.
It is, and I think it comes down to knowing yourself a bit as well, because if you know where your anxiety or stress points are, then you can look out for them yourself, which is good. But also knowing what kind of work is coming up. For me, November is always a really critical month. I've got more projects on than I should take on, maybe. I don't know. I know that that's a part of the year that I'm going to be under the microscope a bit more. So I tend to give myself more time and space in the preparation to that, in the lead up. And then after, take a few days off. But I think it's really important that the work doesn't consume you, because it would be so easy for that. And as an industry, nobody wants that to happen. And I think that's why at trade shows now, you will see these spaces where people can go, they can take time out. We're very aware of it. And I think more employers are becoming aware of how important that issue is. And it sits really nicely alongside the whole business of mentoring, because you're going to be mentored, get coached. But that all has to fit in with how you are physically and mentally.
I'm sure mentors are giving some fantastic advice on the importance of well-being as well. Well-being is a key trend for the year ahead. I'm sure we'll return to talk about it a bit more. But that's it for episode 2. Thank you so much for listening to New in Events, a podcast by IBTM. We will see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to New in Events, a podcast from IBTM. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. Put November 19th to 21st in your diaries for IBTM World in Barcelona, and follow us on our social media channels for all the latest updates. Until next time.